I invite you to open up a Bible with me this morning to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 20. With us all being in one service today, our kids are invited to remain here with us for the duration of our gathering, our elementary kids. But as is sometimes the case, you kiddos, if you pay attention well, if you follow along, if you'll show me a sermon outline page with some notes on it at the end of our service, I've got something that I'll gladly give you. We're in Joshua chapter 20 today. We've been trekking through this portion of the Bible as a church family. And so today we come to this text and we want to hear from the Lord, the one who is the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the God who speaks to us through his word. And so as you find your place there in Joshua chapter 20, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's word? Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. The Bible reads this way. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of that city. Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in the town from which they fled.' So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. East of the Jordan, on the other side from Jericho, they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly." Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Well, Father, we ask for your help right now, the guidance and presence of your Spirit, that we might understand your word so that we might know you. God, lead us now for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. If you're anything like me, you may hear this biblical text and think, "What's this got to do with Christmas? I don't you know, it's Christmas Eve. Can we just skip the history lesson and jump straight to Jesus?" And I promise we're going to get to Jesus. We're going to get to Jesus quickly, for Jesus is the main character of this book. It's the main character of this book that we open together on Sunday mornings. In fact, these truths of this Joshua text, the one that we just read, like so many others in the Bible, anticipate the coming of a Savior. They anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, what we read right here about cities of refuge in the promised land is a picture of the gospel of Jesus. Friends, Christmas is about the gospel. It's about the good news of a Savior who has come. It's about the good news of salvation through faith in Christ today. And the call for each of us gathered in this place this morning is to take refuge in Jesus today. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you've got going on this week, take refuge in Jesus today. A lot of presents under your tree or not. Family drama or not. Vocational stress or not. Right? Healthy and strong or not. Run to Jesus, the Christ who has come for you. For how firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Church, that treasured hymn builds on Hebrews chapter 6, where the Lord is called our refuge, a secure anchor for our souls. Probably an allusion to Joshua 20 and this idea of cities of refuge. What's a refuge? A refuge is a safe place, right? It's a place of shelter from danger. It's security in times of trouble. It reminds me of a game that I played a few times growing up, and that was Capture the Flag. Anybody ever played Capture the Flag? Any of you kids ever played Capture the Flag? I remember playing Capture the Flag with some friends in high school, and we played Capture the Flag with paintball guns. We combined paintball and Capture the Flag. And so at one of my friend's houses, we built some makeshift shelters, some forts out of plywood that housed the flag. And the object of the game was to get the flag, right? The other team's flag, and to get it back to your shelter. And if you got hit along the way, you had to go back to your shelter. The safest place was in the shelter. Protection from paintballs flying through the woods. Well, cities of refuge in Joshua's day were meant to provide protection. They were meant to protect the innocent from wrongful death. We read more details about this in Numbers chapter 35 or Deuteronomy chapter 19. In other words, these places were God's provision for his people to ensure justice. God's a God of justice. To protect, as we read a few moments ago, to protect the one who accidentally or unintentionally, verse 3, took the life of another until that person could get a proper trial. See, this was way before modern police and prisons, and it was actually in that day the nearest kinsman's responsibility to execute justice on behalf of the murdered. It's the idea of the kinsman redeemer. The Hebrew word is goel. Kinsman redeemer, this theme that is central to the book of Ruth. You might recall that in that particular account, Boaz redeems the estate of Naomi, whose husband has now died and grown sons are also dead. Boaz redeems her estate and provides her with posterity through Ruth, the Moabitess, Naomi's daughter-in-law. We see, just as the kinsman redeemer had an obligation to perpetuate the deceased relative's name and inheritance, so the kinsman was also to be the avenger of blood. Joshua chapter 20, verse 3. Goel, same word, in the case of a murder. In other words, the blood of the murdered cried up from the ground for vengeance, and this cry was heard the loudest by the nearest kin who was to avenge the blood of the dead. A system of justice. That's what this is about. But recognizing the natural impulse of a human heart, recognizing the natural impulse of the avenger, God provides places to protect accidental offenders from vengeance, and these are called cities of refuge. There were six of them that we read about right here. Six of them, three on the west side of the Jordan and three on the east side, scattered across the land for easy access in time of need. And so the offender would quickly run to one of these cities, quickly come to one of these places and plead their case before the elders at the city gate, who then would determine if that particular fugitive was on the naughty or nice list. Right? Determine whether or not they were granted entrance into the city or not. Weren't given presents, but they were given if they were found to be worthy of a trial and protection. They were given safe passage into the city gates. Found incredible, the elders would admit him, give him protection from vengeance, and provide for his needs as long as he stayed in that place, as long as he stayed in that city. If he left that city, he's on his own. As I thought about that, I'm reminded of the Magi's message to King Herod. And the Magi who were looking for the Christ child the promised king of the Jews, to which Herod responds in a fit of rage, right? Killing all the little boys in Bethlehem, Matthew chapter 2, except baby Jesus, who for refuge to Egypt has fled. Right? The innocent child and king who escaped the murderous fit of a puppet king is now the refuge. Church, he is the refuge to whom we now flee. Christ is our refuge. And in a way that resembles the strategic nearness of the six cities scattered across the promised land, so Christ our refuge is easy to reach. Christ our refuge is easy to reach. The shepherds living out in the fields nearby heard the invitation of God's heavenly host to leave their lambs and to see the Lord. I come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn king. And the Magi, aye, we three kings from Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, right? The Magi coming from faraway lands in the east are led to Bethlehem by the star in the sky to worship and celebrate his birth. Shepherds and Magi, the rich and the poor, young and old, sinners from across the globe are invited to run straight to Christ and to receive shelter and rest for their weary souls. The Christ who would grow up to say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. All of you who are weary and burdened. The scriptures offer the invitation. Spirit, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Jesus Christ, the church, the Spirit and the bride say, come, come on. Come to Christ. Let the one who hears say, come, come on. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Found by simple, childlike faith in the Christ who saves. Robert Smith reflects on these cities of refuge, saying, just as the six cities of refuge were conveniently located, reachable, and easy to get to, the cross of Mount Calvary is visible from the Orient to the Occident. Christ is convenient and available all over the world. And friend, he's available to you. He's come to rescue you. He's come to save you. Have you turned to him? Have you trusted in him? Have you put your faith in him? Is your faith in him? Are you looking to him for shelter and safety for your weary soul? Oh, friend, run to Jesus Christ today. Christ our refuge. Christ our refuge is easy to reach, and Christ our refuge is open to all. Christ our refuge is open to all. The key word here is anyone. Verse 3. Anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there and find protection. All right, cities of refuge weren't meant to protect premeditated murderers, but to protect anyone who commits accidental manslaughter. Still consequences for the offender, but consequences proportionate to the crime. And notice here that the protection wasn't just for the Judahites or the Benjaminites or the Levites or the other tribes, the other clans of the Israelites, but all living in the land under the rule of Almighty God. Verse 9, any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. Any Israelites or any foreigner provided the same protection. Francis Schaeffer reflected on the system of justice, God's system of justice, saying this was entirely new to the heathen world. Here was real justice, a universal and civil code that pertained equally to the citizen and the stranger. This justice was not rooted in the notion of a superior people, but in the character of God. Well, friends, the character of a just God. We serve a just God. We worship a just God. The character of God seen in the person of Jesus Christ, the Christ who was born to die in order to give us life. The one who said, as recorded by John, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself, meaning all kinds of people. All people to myself. John says Jesus said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And Paul writes to the church in Rome in the first century saying there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Well, friends, Christ our refuge is open to all, and friend, that means he's open to you. Regardless of where you come from or what baggage you may bring with you today, whatever you're dealing with today, whatever you've done, Christ our refuge is open to you. You see, a key difference between ancient cities of refuge and Christ our refuge is that those ancient cities protected the innocent until proven guilty. But friends, Christ our refuge comes to rescue the guilty, granting them his innocence. We've all sinned, both premeditatively and unintentionally. Yet Christ has come to redeem us from spiritual death, giving us the sure hope of eternal life. And so we can say, and so we can sing, come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Friends, he has done it. Christ has come and completed what no one else could do. Christ, our refuge, is our only true help. He's our only true help. He's easy to reach, he's open to all, and he's our only true help. Just as these six cities were the only places of security for the offender in the promised land, so Christ is the only place of security for the one who offends God. The Bible says that we were enslaved to sin, and that even those like Moses and Joshua and Caleb, even those that strove to honor and to obey the Lord, still fell short. Lawbreakers who kept disobeying the commands of God, sometimes intentionally, perhaps on other occasions unintentionally, but guilty. Ruled by sin and guilty before God and rightly deserving of the judgment of God. But God knew such would be the case. And in his inexplicable love, he predetermined a way to rescue rebels that we might be redeemed, that we might have a goel. And so when the set time had fully come, the Bible says, at just the right time, when the Lord said it was time, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Church, covered by the blood of Christ, our Redeemer, protected by spiritual adoption into the family of Almighty God, the only God, and invited to see him as our good and gracious Father who welcomes us into his presence through faith in his Son. The Son of God who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, he is our help. He's our help. He's our only true help. And he is enough. Christ, our refuge, is sufficient for all. He's sufficient for all, meaning he's sufficient for you. He's sufficient for you and he's sufficient for me, the one sent from heaven to save. I born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit. Meaning he has done it. He is enough. His life is sufficient to reconcile sinners to a holy God. Raise us to thy glorious throne. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Christ is sufficient for all. He is sufficient for every single sinner who looks to him for salvation. The angel of the Lord, remember, said to Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Called Jesus, meaning the Lord saves, because by him the Lord has come to save. We heard read a few moments ago, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not receive the due judgment of God, shall not perish, shall not die, shall not be separated from God, but have eternal life. A place of refuge and pardon. A place of permanent security. A perfect and permanent refuge for rebels is Christ Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. You see, this is the good news, that Jesus came to endure our judgment so we could enjoy God forever. Friends, Jesus came to endure our judgment so that we could enjoy God forever. He was born to die so that through faith in him, we might always live. So that we might enjoy him in a relationship with him forever and ever. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Church, God has come. And we Christians celebrate this unparalleled truth at Christmas time. And because he came enduring our judgment, we can know and enjoy him forever. For Christ's first advent, his first coming, was a foretaste of our forever with God. And so now we sing Emmanuel, and we sing, Come, thou long-expected Jesus, in a whole new light, with a whole new perspective, for one day he will come again. A second advent, a second coming upon which God's people, those with faith in Christ our refuge, will forever dwell with him, enjoying him forever. Oh, John, it was given a glimpse of these truths. Said this to encourage us. He wrote this to encourage us. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. That is heaven's throne. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He's dwelling among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Because Jesus came to endure our judgment, so that we might forever enjoy God. So church, may that good news prod us to run to Christ today and to sing praise to him, to praise him even now. Friends, his name is called Emmanuel. More wonderful than words can tell. God is with us. Alleluia. Lift up your eyes, come and sing, come worship Christ, the newborn King. Let's do that together. Would you stand with me now as we respond to the truths of God's word, as we welcome and celebrate and worship the Christ who has come, our newborn and ever-reigning King. Oh God, hear our praise now. Hear our response now. Hear our worship now. Capture our hearts. Captivate our minds. Stir our souls that we might praise you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.